This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
I was at Mount Zion School of Ministry on Friday, and it was just a marvelous, marvelous time as I spent 2.5 hours with the third year students as they get ready to leave Mount Zion now and go to different fields all over the world. And it was my privilege just to spend this 2.5 hours with them. I told them that I've got longevity on my side. I can talk the hind leg off a donkey, and you'll get that sooner or later. But they can ask questions. I'm the kind of person that when I get to teaching, you can put your hand up, you can ask me questions. We're going to go for 2.5 hours straight. If you need to leave, you can go, but come back again. And we just began to open up the scriptures. And beloved, as the Word of God began to be opened up to these young people, it was, you know, we think 2.5 hours, boy, that's a long stretch. But it was like moments of time as we saw these young people just so hungry for the things of God. If God is going to do something in the last days, He will get the young generation. All that rebellion will be captured and He'll take a hold of young people's lives. And we know we're in revival when we see young people filling up the choir loft and moving on with God. We know it. And He is doing it. And it's just amazing to see that the Word of God is so clear when it comes to each one of our lives and what God wants to do. I want to begin this afternoon by sharing with you from Zechariah chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Now, we know that this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He says that He shall come and He's going to build this temple. Now, we know that the Bible tells us in Corinthians that you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we know that this is referring, as Zechariah is writing this, he's talking about a day that is coming. He's talking about a time that was ahead of him, that this person, the branch who we know is Christ, is going to come and He's going to build this temple. Now, beloved, the Bible tells us that you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so this is the temple that He is going to be building. So you begin to understand, when you understand that, it's the privilege that we have is that we're on this side of the cross. We're looking back and seeing everything that was prophesied was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so we take a look at this and we know that the temple that God is building is your life and my life. This is what He's doing. This is the most exciting thing that we can come across in the scriptures, to know that the God of the universe is building this temple for His glory. And this is what He says it'll be like. "And He shall build the temple of the Lord, and He shall bear the glory." In other words, everything that takes place in my life will be for His glory and His glory alone. It's not going to be by anything I can do. There's going to be no change that I can effect in my own strength or my own ability. But He says this is going to be a glory that will go directly to Him. He'll bear the glory. He's going to get all the glory for everything that takes place in our lives. It gets more exciting. It says, "And He shall sit and rule upon His throne." When I was talking with these young people, they just began to get alive when they began to understand that inside of them, this Christ is going to sit and rule. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the Spirit of God that rises up inside of us and says, "No, just declare that enemy to be defeated." You see, Christ begins to rule by His Spirit inside of you and me. And it's God rising up, and He says He will sit and He'll rule, that every attack that will come against you, no matter where you go, this power of God will rise up and He'll give you the words. He's going to rule out of your life. So wherever you go, regardless of the circumstances, you might go into the most heated workplace that you can ever come across. You can go into a place where there is such demonic activity all around you. But it doesn't change the fact that our God sits and rules on His throne in this temple. And that when you walk into that place, if you can begin to understand that when you walk into any place with Christ, He is going to take charge of that situation. So when they rise up against you, the Holy Spirit will give you the exact words to speak against every work of hell. Amen? Oh, beloved, if we can just believe that in our hearts, it doesn't matter where we go then, because we know He is going to rule upon this throne. And He shall be a priest upon His throne. In other words, He'll give us comfort. He'll give us counsel. And then He says, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both. In other words, the Scripture says that between the Father and the Son, there is this incredible peace, that this is the heart of God. This is what God wants to do. So Zechariah is prophesying of this particular time that is coming, and he says, this is a good thing with God. God says, oh, there's a lot of peace in my heart about this, that these who were lost, these who were drugged down by the enemy are going to be brought back into a living relationship. And between the Father and the Son, he says, this is a good thing. This is peace. Turn with me to chapter 9. Just to strengthen this just a little bit for you. In Zechariah chapter 9, it goes on to say, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Now, beloved, we know that he came. This is, you read this in the Gospels. This is exactly what took place. Jesus Christ came. He came to Jerusalem. He came to the people of God, but when we take a look at it from our point of view, He still comes to us. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And look down halfway through verse 10. And He shall speak peace unto the heathen, and His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. In other words, wherever you go. So it doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit would pick you up and take you to the far corners of Africa. He says, I'm going to be there. He says, even if I take you into China, I'm going to be there. You can go into the midst of that hotbed of Afghanistan, and He says, I'm going to be there. My dominion cannot be thwarted. It cannot be overcome. It cannot be overruled. Islam can rise up, but it's just a worldly rule. It's animated by the devil himself, but God's dominion rules over all power from hell, beloved. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you go. It says that His kingdom and His dominion will be from the sea to sea, even from the river to the ends of the earth. And as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant. Now, it's like the Father is speaking to the Son, and He says to the Son, and by the blood of thy covenant, I have set forth thy prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. What a declaration. He says, from the time that you go to that cross, and you die on that cross, and that covenant is made by the shedding of your blood, He says, from that time onwards, I want you to know that I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. From that time onwards, there has been a declaration all over the earth that there is no pit deep enough to hold you from the voice of Almighty God, that He can call you from the very deepest pit, no matter how far down you've gone, no matter how captivated you have become, no matter how far that the enemy has dragged you away from the things of God, The Bible tells me from that point onwards, there is no pit that can hold you captive. That the voice of Almighty God speaks and says, let my people go. You have to be set free, beloved, when you hear the word of the Lord come to you. Amen? So he says then, turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Turn to the stronghold. Look at the stronghold. Take a look what seems to be holding you even captive today. And the Lord comes and says to you, even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. Oh, beloved, if you could understand that those who give themselves wholeheartedly to Christ, we get double for anything that this world could ever offer us. There's no captivity that can hold us so strong. In fact, he says, turn to the strongholds, look at those things, and know that they are but string in the hands of a mighty God. And he can call you forth and set you free from that. You see, God has always wanted to have a relationship with us. This is why he says in Zechariah, it was peace. This was a peaceful thing between the Father and Son. This was a good thing that was going to take place. That Calvary would be in the heart of God. That you and I would be ultimately set free from all the power of the enemy. Now, God has wanted this fellowship. He says this, if there's any comfort, he says in Philippians 2:1, he says, if there's any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit. So God says, there is this incredible fellowship that I want to bring you into. It's coming into a relationship with God that we don't deserve. We don't even deserve to be even near His presence. But yet in the heart of God, there has always been this incredible desire to even take the worst from the lowest pit and bring them into this incredible fellowship of the Holy Ghost. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this word fellowship is the Christian terminology of what literally in the original language means friendship. That God has wanted to bring us into this place of this marvelous friendship with Him. That we can talk with Him, relate with Him. In fact, the noun means partakers, partners, companions. That as we come into this incredible fellowship with God, this friendship with God, that we would become partakers and partners and companions with Him in all that He has done for us. The only way I can illustrate it the very best is that after 34 years of marriage, I hope that my wife... I hope. I mean, I haven't been the easiest person to live with. But I hope she knows and feels that we are partakers together in this relationship. That we are partners, and I'm not a dictator and she's the precious subject. But that we are companions for life. That out of this relationship has come an incredible friendship. That wherever we go, we're always talking. There's this relationship. There's this friendship. We move forward together. Everything that comes before us, we add it together. We relate, we talk, we laugh, we cry, we weep together, we rejoice over our children. It's a fellowship, it's a friendship. And that's the only way I can equate it. And this is exactly when I see the friendship that I have with my spouse, then I begin to understand, God, this is exactly what You've called every single one of us from this dark pit into, is this incredible friendship with God. That we can be partakers with everything that He has given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Partners, companions with Him. See, this is the incredible thing that is so hard to grasp, because the human mind always wants to do something. When yet God is just inviting us to come into this fellowship with Him. Friendship. Sit down and just talk with Him and relate with Him. A friendship that you can just be yourself with. You know, it's so hard to be yourself with a lot of people. Always on your guard. There's maybe two or three people that I know outside of my family that I know that I can be really myself with. This is one man right here. Pastor Carter, is I would regard outside of my direct relationship with my family, I know that in my heart I can be exactly who I am in His presence. A writer put it this way. Listen to how one writer put friendship. They wrote like this. Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but pour them all right out just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand, and we heard that this morning, knowing that a faithful hand will take and sift them. Keep what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away. That's what a writer wrote about a good friendship. I feel I've got that. I believe that when I get together in this friendship, I can be exactly who I am. Chaff and wheat. And with a gentle hand, they just blow away the chaff, and hopefully there's some good that remains. In this friendship, in this relationship that God wants for us, that we read about in the book of Zechariah, where the peace of God says, this is a good thing. I want this kind of relationship. You understand that then that God has time for us. It's the one thing that I think that most people don't understand is that because we live in a culture and in a society where we have very little time for each other. When we pass each other in the halls, it's always, hey, how are you? Praise the Lord. Doing great. Can I share something with you? Not exactly right now. Call my secretary. We live in a society where we don't have that time to share with each other's burdens, to talk with each other, to relate and see what is going on in the heart. We know each other by name, but how many times do we really stop and get to know one another, where you feel the freedom that you can speak? You know, I think of the cell phone, you know, society that we live in. It's almost like, do yourself a favor after church today, or when you go to Starbucks for coffee, or you go around the corner for something to eat, you count in 10 minutes how many people have got a cell phone to the ear. Just take 10 minutes and say, okay, I'm going to start counting. And you start scanning the streets and you begin to see how many people have cell phones glued to the ear. Because it's so convenient, if, and especially with this recognition of who's calling you, you can just lift it out and say, oh no, push that thing off. Later on, you call up, oh, no, I saw that you called, you know, my phone was off. It's so convenient to turn those people that we don't want to talk to, so easy to turn them off. Or we got call waiting. We just get on that phone and we say, now hold on, I'm on the phone to Bob. I'll call you back later, like much later. And we're gone. But you know, the Bible tells me that God has all the time in the world for us. When you call, He answers. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call me and I will answer you. I won't put you on call waiting. I won't tell my angel secretary, I'll call him another day. God has time for us. He sits, He listens. This is the fellowship. This is the relationship. So when the apostle Paul says, if any fellowship of the Spirit, it means friendship where you can just be yourself. Where you can relate and just, with all your different hang-ups, just sit down and talk with God, knowing that He is going to ultimately rule on the inside of your life. That He is going to conquer everything that comes against you. That's the promise that He makes. We're living in a society where you have to make the choice to either go to myspace.com or go to His place. If we would stop spending so much time at myplace.com, where you do not know what you're getting into. You know, beloved, this is, just think of the name itself, myspace.com. It's all about me. It's all about the focus is on me. When you understand that we're living in a time where you can just click on this thing and you know, pop up people's faces. They've got the most magnificent photographs stuck on MySpace.com. But you don't know whether they're a predator or not. You don't know what's behind that face. You don't know what's behind the clickety-clack of oh, no, I'm just a nice guy. You don't know what's behind that. But you see, these are the things that God says that when you come to me, you're not getting a predator. When you come to my place instead of my space, if you spend more time at my place, you'll begin to understand you can come just as you are. That you don't have to be the hypocrite on my space. And if you've got a place on my space, I wonder what you put in there. Tall, handsome, dark, work on Wall Street, millionaire. Great catch. You see, there's so many things that we've put forward that is not exactly us. But fellowship with God. He says, you come to me, you come exactly as you are. I know every thought that goes into your heart and mind. I know exactly your hang-ups. And yet, despite him knowing everything about us, he still says, I want fellowship with you. I want to spend time with you in my presence. I want to relate to you. These are the things that I believe that God is speaking when he spoke through Zechariah. He said, this is the counsel of peace. You don't have to change. You don't have to put on your best face. You don't have to play the hypocrite. Just come to me. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is somebody who's going to go the distance with you. And beloved, as much as I want to elaborate on MySpace or cell phones or these gadgets that we have today, the truth of the matter is that God has chosen to go the distance with you. Young people, if you could understand that just committing your life to God, he's going to walk with you through every single thing that you'll ever encounter in life. He says he will rule in you. He will govern in you. We hear it so many times, but it's the truth that God says, I want to go the full distance with you, walk with you, relate to you. That you can call him at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's not too busy. He's not dealing with China so much so that he can't speak to you in your situation. God will deal and speak with you all the way through. Now there's an individual in the scriptures that I want to share with you this afternoon. He's a person who comes into David's life. Turn with me to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. Actually, chapter 7. I want to show this in an illustration, hopefully this afternoon, how the Holy Spirit wants to walk with us. David has brought the ark to Jerusalem. It's a time of great personal cost to David. A man has died, and David has now brought this ark to Jerusalem, and there has been tremendous rejoicing. In fact, the scriptures say in verse 14, chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. David brought this, the ark, or the presence of God to where he lived. He wanted the presence of God in Jerusalem. It was his heart's desire. And it was out of this incredible time of worship and praising of God with sacrifices and the trumpets and the shouting and people rejoicing as the presence of God came into Jerusalem. It's at that point where David is so committed to the Lord that this man called Nathan emerges. And in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1, this is where Nathan the prophet begins to emerge. Now it's interesting, if you ever do a study with Nathan, you'll begin to see, and this is why I think he's a good example of the Holy Spirit going with us the distance. This man Nathan, as he appears out of this incredible celebration that's taking place in Jerusalem with David, this man never leaves the side of David all the days of David's life. He's faithful, He's loyal, He's there all the way through. And beloved, that is just so like the Holy Spirit. That when someone just yields their life to God, that the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to be with you all the way through. Look at this in chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, this is the first time Nathan is coming up in the scriptures alongside David. And so David says, I want to build God a house. Look, I live in this house, but I want to build God a house. And we see this man say, well, do what's ever in your heart. But that night, the Holy Spirit comes to Nathan and he says, I want you to go back to David. And this is the truth, beloved, of what God wants to do. See, we want to do something for God. But God turns this thing around. He says, no. You go back to David. And this is what he says in verse 11 in this communication. He says, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. God says, no. I know you want to build me a house, but I'm going to make you a house. I'm going to build you. I'm going to make something out of your life. I'm going to build a house for you, David. And this is the work that the Holy Spirit comes to do in each one of our hearts and lives. He says, I'm going to make something out of your life. Beloved, we can't do this. We can't go the distance. We have no energy or strength to go into the hard places of our life, as I'll show you this afternoon. But it's the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. Just as this Nathan, by the way, his name means gift of God. And the Holy Spirit is given to us. As we commit our life to Jesus Christ, God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us through every single thing that we'll ever face. The Holy Spirit is going to be there. And he says, I'm going to build you. I'm going to build a house for thee. I'm going to establish you, David. I'm going to build your life. So in this time of worship, we see that the Lord is there building this incredible life for David. Now take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is probably the most famous of times that we hear most about. This is the story. David has sinned with Bathsheba. He has committed adultery. He's committed murder. And about a year has transpired. And then we see that Nathan comes to David in chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. The promise of God's Holy Spirit to us is that when we err, the Holy Spirit will come to us and correct us. It's the promise of God. I thank God that He deals with us in such a manner. And I know that there's been people, I know I've preached in the past that Nathan stuck his bony finger in David's face and said, thou art the man. But after this morning's message on seeing the hand that the person who serves the Lord, the hand becomes soft and tender. I don't believe that this was a hard encounter. Pastor Carter and I were talking about a message Pastor David preached on this, and that Nathan the prophet comes and just gently puts his arm around David and leads him to this window and begins to talk to him about this parable. And you see, I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that the Holy Spirit comes to us in gentleness. David is in the midst of a battle in 2 Samuel chapter 22 or Psalms 18. And in verse 35 of 2 Samuel or 36, 2 Samuel chapter 22, right in the midst of this battle, this encounter where David is leaping over a troop and all these enemies, he cries unto the Lord and God thunders out of heaven and comes down. David is in the midst of this incredible battle. All hell is breaking loose round about him. He cries unto the Lord, and the Lord begins to deliver him. He sets his feet as hind feet. He leaps over a wall. But yet we get down to this verse 35 or 36 in 2 Samuel 22. And right there in the very midst of this whole battle, it's almost like a contradiction where David just begins to say things like, your gentleness has made me great. The touch of God, the gentle touch of God, has made me great. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. David has sinned. He's committed murder. And I believe the Holy Spirit just comes alongside of David. It's a gentle time. It's a time of instruction. It's a time of wooing. It's a time of just saying, I know what you've done. And there's always consequences to sin. But God loves you. It's a gentle moment in David's life. I don't believe that Nathan would have come in and pointed that bony finger because David would have not received it. But it's in the gentleness of the Holy Spirit coming to us. And this is the promise of God that a Nathan, the Holy Spirit, will walk alongside of us, leading us, building us, establishing our lives. And even when it comes to some course correction, the Holy Spirit comes with kindness and gentleness. If He doesn't come to us, beloved, in the kindness and gentleness, and I tell you, when I read these kinds of things, I've got to remind myself that whenever we sit down and deal with people who are going through things that are so deep, that I've got to remind myself that it's gentleness that makes us great. Shakespeare said it this way, "Thy gentleness shall force more than your force move anyone to gentleness." You can't force someone to be kind. But it's out of kindness and gentleness that we are drawn out of those areas that we have gone wrong in and that God begins to establish us. I believe this with all of my heart because when you take a look at chapter 12 and verse 24, look what it says here in verse 24. See, you can't do what David is about to do in verse 24 unless God has dealt gently with you in this fellowship. You see, beloved, God wants fellowship more than anything else. He wants to draw you into this place of relationship, of friendship. So He comes to us gently, kindly. He speaks into our hearts. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit is speaking very gently to you. You know the areas where you've erred. We don't have to put out a whole list and say adultery, fornication, idol worship, money, covetousness. We don't have to do that because the Holy Spirit is putting His arm around you and drawing you into this incredible place of fellowship and relationship with Him. Now look what the result is that when the Holy Spirit deals with our hearts and lives, verse 24 says, "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife." Now, I've been married for 34 years. And I know that when there's been intense fellowship in our relationship, Christians don't fight, they have intense fellowship. It's never been resolved. I can't think of a single occasion where I've walked in and said, "I think you need to apologize to me now." Oh, yeah? You see, it doesn't work. But the ability to go and say, "I'm sorry," is probably one of the least known phrases in our society today. We want other people to say, "I'm sorry" to me. But we don't have the power within ourselves, to the most part, to go to somebody and say, "I'm sorry, will you forgive me?" But yet, when we see here, David, this word comforted here, in the literal text, it means to have a repentant heart. Oh, it means comfort, it means to console. But the most amount of times that it is used in the Old Testament, this particular word, it means to go to somebody with a repentant heart. The ability to go to a wife and say, "I'm sorry. I took advantage of you. I used my position and took authority over your life. And I've come to say I'm sorry." You see, David, when the Holy Spirit spoke to him in kindness and gentleness and brought him to that place of being able to turn around, he writes Psalm 51. Go read it sometime and you see how David begins to pen the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. It's in that spirit of gentleness. It's in that spirit of fellowship that God, above everything else under the sun, wants to draw us into this place of friendship and fellowship. And this is what is worked into the heart of David. He has to go to a wife and say, I took advantage of you. He comes with a spirit of repentance. You can't do this in your own strength. You cannot go and say, I'm sorry. He goes to comfort her. He says he's got to apologize for taking advantage. He's got to apologize for killing her then husband when she was married to Uriah. He's got to go in the sense of the spirit of repentance. You can't do this, beloved, unless it's the Holy Spirit drawing you in gentleness and kindness. And so David goes to Bathsheba and comforted her. And I believe in all repentance. I believe in the window of opportunity. As I read the scripture, I saw this king, this great King David. And I believe in all of my heart that he was so smitten by the working of the Holy Spirit in his heart that he got on his knees and he said to Bathsheba, will you forgive me? I've sinned against you. Beloved, can we begin to take those same phrases on our lips one more time in this generation? Can we go to a boss who is unsaved and has given us a hard time and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? It takes the power of God and the working of the Holy Spirit to bring us into that place. But he does. But look at the result. He says he goes into Bathsheba, he comforts her, and then he went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. The Lord loved him. Nathan comes on the scene. And this verse 25, it says, and he sent by the hand of Nathan. The literal text says that David took his son Solomon and put him into the care of this man called Nathan, that Nathan should raise him and school him. That's what the original text says. And so here you've got this person who has been touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. God has brought him back into this incredible fellowship. And right there and then, it's the joy and the delight that God brings fruit out of every working of repentance in the heart. There comes this incredible fruit. You see, we think it's too hard to do this. It's too difficult. I don't want to do it. But God says, no, if you will go into the hard places, if you will go to your spouse, if you will go to your parents, if you will go to a grandmother, if you'll go to these people, and you, I will meet you at that point. But if you go, I'm drawing you to do this. And if you do it, incredible fruit is going to come out of this. And out of this life of David and Bathsheba, as he goes in with this repentant heart, comes the son Solomon, who is going to be the king of Israel. He's going to be in the lineage of Christ. The fruit that comes out of when the Holy Spirit is drawing us to do that which is right. Beloved, I know it's hard. I know it's the toughest thing to do, is to go into these dark places. But the Holy Spirit is going to lead us there, because he knows the kind of fruit that is going to come out of it. There's going to be incredible life. By the way, David and Bathsheba, in closing, David and Bathsheba, they have another son. And do you know who they call him? Nathan. They call him Nathan. Did you know that Nathan is also in the lineage? That this other son that they have, Solomon, if you go to Matthew, let me just read it to you. It says here, and Jacob, it says here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And so we know that, and Jacob begat, Joseph goes on down to verse 16, and Joseph begat, and Joseph was the husband of Mary. So we see that Solomon is definitely in the lineage of Christ. But when you go to Luke chapter 3, verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age as was supposed, the son of Joseph. But when you get to verse 31, it says that this was from the son Nathan, which was the son of David. Beloved, the amazing fruit that comes out of those that say, God, it is the hardest place. But the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to walk with you. It's sometimes the hardest thing to let the Holy Spirit go with us into the dark places of our lives. It's the hardest thing to turn to somebody and say, oh, I'm sorry I bumped you. Will you forgive me? But if you do it, the fruit of it is enormous. And this is the fruit. It's time to say, God, walk with me. Rule in my life. It's time to rise up, beloved, and say, this is what I want. I want fruit in my life. God, no matter where you take me, no matter the distance we're going to go, I want you to take me into the hard places of my life. Do you have that kind of courage, beloved? I believe that God will do it for you and bring incredible fruit out of your lives. Amen? Father, we thank you. There's no way we can do these things, Lord, in our strength. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that in this house, that there are people estranged from friends, neighbors, family, and relatives. But you're going to take us there. Back to those places. Lord, if we want revival, it cannot come until we are willing to go where the Holy Spirit sends us. Father, I pray today that the depth of your Holy Spirit, through the gentle touch of your Holy Spirit, that you draw people out, not with a condemning hand, but you want to bring them into a place of fellowship and peace. Do it this afternoon. In the annex in this house, draw them to the place of fruitfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. My altar call this afternoon is, are you tired of penning your own life? Do you want God to write the rest of your story for you? If that's on your heart and you want to just come to this altar and just come and worship, just come worship God and get things right by the sweet drawing of the Spirit, I invite you to do that. Please stand with me this afternoon. These altars are open. Just go to either side. Come on down to this altar. Just come stand before the Lord and allow Christ just to minister to your heart in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we can just raise our hands. Nothing more needs to be said. You've done your work in our hearts. We know what to do. We know how to walk from this place, Lord. You've spoken to our hearts. You've affirmed and confirmed that you love us and are bringing us into fellowship with you. We return thanks now. Hallelujah. We just return thanks to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God, we just return thanks. Thank you, Lord. You love us. You draw us. Hallelujah. God, thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that each person that has been drawn by your Spirit today, that they have come back into fellowship with you. Now let them go, Lord, with the joy of the Lord in their heart, knowing that there is peace between them and their Maker. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him thanks, beloved, this afternoon. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.